It's time to think outside the pocket on Saturday Scramble.
What the hell is going on, Bucks fans? Why do we feel like that this is the moment that we can celebrate? This feels like the highlight of the season.
Whoop! On 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
You fired up.
I'm never emotional. I'm very even keeled. Very cool, calm, and collected.
This is really interesting.
Do you think so?
You really? Sure about that?
Really?
You sure about that?
Alongside Riley Auk, here's Pablo Iglesias.
What's poppin', Saturday Scramblers? Pablo Iglesias alongside Riley Auk here. We've got a stacked show for you as we get ready for Brewers baseball. We talk a little bit about the Packers. It's been another fumble on the special teams side, and yet the Packers have not played since early January. Here we are as we get ready for Saturday Scramble, and also a big one today on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Baseball is back. Super excited for this one, Riley.
It's been too long.
That's right. Oh, it's been too long since a magical season. What a run for the Milwaukee Brewers, and what a first season it was for us to have the Milwaukee Brewers here on ESPN Madison. And joining us right off the bat, the leadoff hitter, we are wasting absolutely no time. It is an absolute pleasure to introduce the man who is leading the soundtrack of the summer, the voice of the Brewers. Please, may he bring us the warm weather that he is experiencing out in Phoenix. He is Jeff Levering joining us. Jeff, good morning. Welcome onto the Saturday Scramble. How are we doing today?
Good morning, guys. I will take my eggs scrambled. I appreciate you very much. I will say the last couple of days have been somewhat quote-unquote chilly. It was 44 degrees on Thursday. Yesterday started to heat up. It was 55, 60. Today going to be 65 and sunny. Tomorrow will be 85 degrees around game time.
Wow.
So it's starting to heat up in Arizona. I'm starting to send some good vibes back to Wisconsin.
Perfect. Well, hopefully it doesn't thin out the blood too much, and you still have that that Wisconsin energy there where you can, 44 degrees, you're in a hoodie and shorts, and people are looking at you like you're crazy. But the excitement out there, taking the first steps, you know, what for you, when you're out there, Jeff, on the spring training grounds and getting ready for first pitch of the spring training games, what excites you the most about this time of the year?
I think it's just getting back and seeing all your old summer friends, right? It's your baseball family. And for me, you go from October until the beginning of February, and you don't necessarily see all these people all that much. So it's just getting to know your friends again and seeing some of the new players that are on the team and getting to know some of those guys. The great thing for the Brewers is that their roster is basically intact from a year ago, which is great. So there aren't a lot of new names to figure out. Obviously, a couple of trades that went down in the offseason, so a handful of new people and new faces to put there in the mental Rolodex. But I think it's going to be a great year. I'm fired up to get going again. Everybody seems to be healthy as I'm knocking on everything for Micah and Wood and Stone, whatever it is. But it's not a bad thing to have somewhat of a boring offseason in terms of health and all that. And I think the Brewers have had a boring offseason, so hopefully it's a boring spring training for them too.
Yeah, Jeff, really appreciate you coming on. And you mentioned the Brewers roster is mostly the same. Obviously, they traded Freddy Peralta. That was the big move of the offseason. But it seems like it's the same story every single year for the Brewers. They trade an ace. Everyone picks them to finish third or second in the NL Central. They blow expectations out of the water, win the division. They had more success in the playoffs last year than we're used to, which was amazing. But it seems like they have to. We do this same charade over and over. I know Yelich said the players don't care and they just go about their business, but is that the prevailing thought in the clubhouse? And do the Brewers ever get tired of having to prove people wrong year over year?
I don't think so. I think that they wear it as a badge of honor, right? I mean, it's kind of nice to have people think that you're not going to do much and then exceed expectations. I kind of do that myself where it's, hey, I'm just going to under-promise and over-deliver most of the time. That's kind of a good way to go about things, right? Because if you go in there and you have a ton of expectations and then you don't live up to them, then it can be deemed as a failure. So I think it's a good place for the Brewers to be that a lot of people aren't picking them this year or as they have in years past. And then you go out there and you prove them wrong and you have the most wins in Major League Baseball like they did a season ago. Do I expect this team to win 97 games this year? Probably not. But are they going to win 90? Probably. You know, they have a way of figuring things out. They really do. They pitch well. They play defense exceptionally well. They have enough offense. I think they got better offensively at third base with Luis Renjifo if he stays healthy. So I just think that the Brewers wear this thing as a badge of honor, that nobody expects them to do anything. And then lo and behold, here we are in September and they're right in the mix and making the rest of the baseball world upset.
Jeff, you talked about living up to the expectations, the hype, the excitement. One of the guys I think Brewers fans are all excited about is Jesus Madej. Also, great to have that clarification going into spring training, into the season, as he gets closer and closer to making that major league debut. What have you seen from the developments from there, and what can Brewers fans get excited about with this young superstar on the cusp?
I mean, I'm fired up to watch him. He's 18 years old, and you just start thinking about Jackson Churio, and Churio's an outfielder. He came up as an infielder. He moved into the outfield a couple of years ago when he was invited to spring training. But watching Jesus play, the kid, every step that he takes is electric. I mean, he could walk from the dugout and onto the infield dirt. And it's exciting, right? That's the kind of thing that awesome. Gets you fired up. And it shouldn't be that cool, but it is, because he makes it look cool. And then he starts getting into his baseball actions, and you watch him field ground balls, and you watch him hit, and it's fun. It's fun. And the kid, he's electric. I'm excited to see him in spring training. And the thing is that he's going to get a lot of reps with the World Baseball Classic coming up pretty soon. A lot of the big league guys that are going to be leaving to go play for their respective countries for the World Baseball Classic, it opens up some space for some of these young kids to play. So you're going to get to see him a lot, and we're going to see him a lot. And hopefully he opens a bunch of eyes.
Yeah, I know. You're getting me excited. I was already pumped to see him play, and that sounds amazing. Is there anyone else, though? I think a lot of Brewers fans knew about Jesus Madej. Any other young guys that are going to get reps that we should pay attention to, that Brewers fans should know heading into 2026?
I like this kid Koenig, who's coming up. He's a left-hander. Also, the lefty that the Brewers got from the Red Sox, Drolin. I think he's going to be a really good guy to watch, who could potentially make the opening day roster. If he's not on the opening day roster, he'll be on the big league roster at some point during the season. Health provided, of course. But Koenig and Drolin are two guys that I'm excited to see. I'm also interested to see Kyle Harrison and what he's got. He's been in the big leagues a handful of years already. He's a Northern California kid. Went to a football school. It's a great baseball school, too, in De La Salle. But I'm excited to see what he has to offer, too. And if he can deliver like he has in the past, I think that the Brewers are going to be set up. And a lot of people talked about that Caleb Durbin trade. And they're upset to see Caleb go. And I get it. I understand all of that. But they were dealing from a position of strength with third base position. They've got a lot of guys that can play that position moving forward. And their pitching is now controllable through basically the 2030 season, because of those moves that they made. So you're looking at a pitching rotation that has one player that has more than 2 years of service time on that roster, and that's Brandon Woodruff. You think Quinn Priester is this veteran guy who had a great, he was amazing last year, but he's basically going into his second full season of Major League Baseball. So he's still young and up and coming and controllable, just like everybody else in that rotation too.
The voice of the Brewers, Jeff Levering, joining us here on the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch. This is like having Jackson Churio go after first pitch on opening day and going yard. This is a fantastic way to lead things off here. Jeff, I want to toss it to Owen Dimple, our producer, who had a very interesting question and a little bit of sound, too, I believe, about the experience that Pat Murphy brings to the clubhouse.
Yeah, Jeff, I wanted to ask you. So Christian Yelich earlier this week spoke to the media, and when talking about Murph, he brought up the point that there's a certain manager value that just can't be quantified. So I'm going to play this clip for you, and I want you to just respond to it.
Well, I think manager, right, is what the name is. You're managing people. You're managing personalities. You have things that you have to help navigate throughout the season. You have to try to get the best out of guys, motivate guys, get everybody pulling in the same direction. And I think he does a really good job, doing that. As you said, it's hard to quantify. Like, there's nothing that you can do that's like, oh, well, this impact had, this had this much impact on the group. But, it does.
So what value does Pat Murphy bring to this ball club that cannot be put to numbers or put on a resume?
Yelly said it all. And you can't quantify how good Murph is in that clubhouse. You cannot quantify how good he has been for this organization for the last 11 years, since he showed up in 2016, when he was the bench coach. That there is a human quality to being a manager that you can't put numbers on. Yeah, you can make all the decisions you want, when to take a starter out and bring in a bullpen guy, and sometimes that works, or to throw up a pinch hitter and that guy comes through, or sometimes he doesn't, or maybe you bring a guy in for defense and he makes a great play late in the ball game. Situationally, managers make a difference. Yes, they do, for sure. And Murph makes a lot of great decisions, and he has a lot of great people to help him make those decisions. But what makes Murph so great, and what makes this organization so great, is that they are aligned. And a lot of that has to do with Murph. And a lot of different organizations around Major League Baseball, you could look at the Dodgers or the Mets or whoever you want to look at, and you'll see maybe an owner who thinks differently than their general manager, who thinks differently than their players, and then their coaching staffs in the middle. So you have kind of these branches off of the totem pole where the Brewers are totally aligned the entire way. Everybody thinks the same. Everybody's on the same page. And what Murph does in the clubhouse to make sure that everybody is aligned is he lets you be who you are. And as soon as that kind of, if someone starts to get more individualized and starts thinking about themselves as opposed to the greater good of the team, Murph has a way of bringing that guy back in. He has a way of reining that guy back in. The players do a great job of that. Murph allows his players to self-police in that clubhouse too. But Murph is so good at just making sure everybody feels comfortable. This is a tough sport. It's a really tough sport. There's a lot of failure, and you can get down on yourself. There's a great article in The Athletic written by former Brewers beat writer Will Salmon yesterday about the relationship between Yelly and Murph. And when Yelly was really going through his struggles, and he struggled, 21, 22, and this was all after the broken kneecap in 2019, and he should have had another MVP on his ledger. There were some struggles there for Yelly, 20, 21, 22. And it was him and Murph just having conversations. Just, hey, man, how's your day? Don't wear so much on your own shoulders. It's okay. It's okay. There's a lot of pressure on you, but you're going to be okay. You're an amazing player. You're an amazing human being. Just continue to be who you are. And it's those small conversations that he has with players. He has them with us broadcasters every now and again. Just, hey, man, what's going on? How's life? He's seen a lot of life. He's lived a lot of life. He has a lot of wisdom. So I think that those are the things that Murph does so well. And he's come a long way too. If you had asked him personally, maybe mid-90s, early 2000s, when he was still at Arizona State, if he would manage this way, he'd probably say, nah, no way. No way. I think he has evolved a ton. And it shows a lot of maturity in what Murph has been able to accomplish.
Jeff, you mentioned Christian Yelich, and you mentioned age and wisdom and evolution. How has Christian Yelich's impact evolved over time for the Milwaukee Brewers? Because it feels like just yesterday he was the young hotshot in 2018 coming onto the Brewers squad, and now I just looked it up. He's 34 years old. He's the elder statesman of the club. What is his role on this team, and how does he execute and still perform at a high level?
Yeah, he's a major leader, and he and Brandon Woodruff are the longest tenured Brewers right now. Woody debuted in 17 with Freddie Peralta gone now. It's Christian Yelich. So his role, and he does it more behind the scenes than anything else. He's not out there and rah-rahing and jumping around and doing all the crazy stuff, and he's not flashy. He's really not. But behind closed doors, Yelly is a major, major leader. And you have to have that from your position player group. You can't have a pitcher be that guy because he doesn't play every day. Mm. You got to have a position player be your leader. And Yelly is 1,000% that guy. It was nice to see when Rhys Hoskins was here for the last couple of years, those two guys really policed the clubhouse, which was great. And you'll see Yelly take out the young kids, and they'll go to lunch and they'll hang out. And Bryce Terang coming through a couple of years ago, those guys would go out for Chipotle every single day. I think Yelly's got like the platinum Chipotle card. He never has to buy a Chipotle ever again for the rest of his life because he eats it so much. But Yelly will take out a young guy and they'll go and have lunch and they'll learn the ropes. And again, stuff that you wouldn't see on the field or you won't see in the dugout, but behind closed doors, Christian Yelich 1,000% is the leader in that clubhouse. And it's been really good to see him have success on the field again, too. Mm-hmm. Last year, almost hit 30 homers, drove in 100 runs. Year before that, he started to get more and more consistent. So it's just so great to see him put it all together again.
Love to hear that, Jeff. Before we let you go, I wanted to switch gears just a little bit and wanted to get your perspective on this that we're about to play for you here. Matt LaPay, the voice of the Badgers, drew a very interesting comparison. You have also called college basketball. You've called college football on top of being with the Brewers. So he was on Wilde and Tausch just about a week ago, said this. Very interested to hear what you got. Owen, let it rip.
You know, they've been able to use their resources. It's a little bit of a loose comparison, but I think there's merit to it. They remind me of the Brewers. They do really well with what they have. You know, they're not going to be dollar for dollar with, you know, the college basketball blue bloods, just like the Brewers. Obviously, they're not dollar for dollar with the Dodgers, the Yankees, so on and so forth. But they do a great job of evaluating, you know, the talent, the fit in the locker room, the ability to or the willingness to be coached.
So again, with March around the corner, you've been around this Wisconsin Badgers basketball team for a little bit. You got to call a couple games this year. Wanted to get your thoughts again on what the voice of the Badgers had to say about comparing Wisconsin men's basketball team and their long success to the way the Brewers have been successful as well.
Anything Matt LaPay says, I'm all in. So
fair enough.
He says it. It's basically the gold standard. He's right, though. I mean, they do so much. They have the three best wins, not just in the Big Ten Conference, but I think in the country. To go and beat Michigan at Michigan, to beat Michigan State at Michigan State, to beat Illinois at Illinois. They have the three signature wins in the conference. Yes. Are they going to go back and look at USC and go, oh, man, yeah, we should have had that? Are they going to go back and look at Ohio State? Yeah, absolutely they will. A game they should have had, but they didn't make shots. It happens. You could look at Indiana too, but we don't have to scratch that itch anymore either. But I think that Wisconsin does as good a job as anybody in the country at just being who they are, right? And I think Greg Gard has evolved tremendously, right? Being a Bo Ryan disciple and not running the swing offense anymore and evolving with what college basketball is these days and how he can win and what he has with his roster. I think he gets more out of his roster year in and year out than anybody in the country. And you know, kudos to him. Kudos to him. Kudos to the Badgers. And I hope that I get to see them in the Big Ten tournament. I'm doing days 3 and day 4, the morning session. So hopefully I have an opportunity in the Big Ten tournament to see the Badgers and see them into the quarterfinals and then hopefully into the semis.
Let's go. I know we hope to hear you, Jeff, on the call. That would be fantastic. And one more from me, big broadcasting guy. I've been listening to you since you joined the Brewers in 2015, so it's been awesome to be able to talk to you and interview you as well. But what is Jeff Levering's favorite call, whether that be the Brewers, college football, college basketball? What's your favorite? Your call game 5 against the Cubs. That might be mine, personally. That was such a satisfying win, such a satisfying series. It was amazing. But for you, what is your favorite call?
Game 5? Really? Like my last out?
Yeah. It was just the moment, like the moment. The moment was so awesome.
Riley is a significant any rival hate watcher as well,
yes.
So there might be a little bit of an extra juice. So there might be a reason why behind that.
That's
one.
That's fine. That's fine. I didn't love that call personally. Didn't love my call. I thought it was just kind of average, but I was certainly excited. I still have some minor PTSD from game 3 of the wild card series in 14, where I blew out my aorta on back-to-back homers from Bowers and Frelick. Oh,
wow.
I'm trying not to do that. But I will say my two favorite calls that I have had, one, the Brandon Woodruff homer off of Clayton Kershaw in 2018. In the NLCS. That is one of my favorite calls. I'll throw another one in there. The Isaac Collins home run last year, just with everything that was surrounding it, with the floods the night before, mm-hmm. and how many people showed up, and Collins hits the walk-off against the Mets. That's a big one for me. And I thought I did a pretty good job with that. And then in game two of the wild card series, the homers in the eighth inning, the Jackson Chourio to tie it, and the Garrett Mitchell to give them the lead in the bottom of the eighth in 24. So those are three that kind of stand out in my mind.
Yeah, those were awesome.
Those are great. And we are excited to get to hear more calls throughout the season. We're excited to get to hear select calls here on spring training. First game today on 100.5 ESPN. First pitch between the Brewers and Guardians at 2:10 Central. Jeff, like I said, make sure that you stay warm in the 40-degree weather that's going to be warm enough to, I think you said, 70 to 80s at some point as well. But make sure you rest that
we'll
voice, too.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine, Pablo. Don't worry about it, buddy. It's
all
okay.
Right. All right, yes. Sounds good. Hey, yeah. You know what? We give the strongest or the toughest missions to the strongest soldiers for sure. Mm-hmm. He's Jeff Levering, once again, the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. Thanks so much for joining us on the Saturday Scramble. Enjoy the rest of your day, Jeff. Can't wait to hear you on the call.
You got it. Take care, guys.
All right. Perfect. All right. Well, we'll talk some more Brewers baseball. Excited to have – I loved the – what was it? Just fired up for Jesus Mare. I didn't even think about that for the reps that he's going to be getting in the World Baseball Classic. 18 years old. Kid's going to be a stud.
He's going to be so awesome. That's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more Brewers baseball. I do want to think about what can put this team over. Like, let's talk about that some more on the other side. Just a bunch of different things to dissect, to think about from Jeff Levering, and hopefully the Brewers can really be something this season and even more. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yuck, this is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN. Brewers conversation continues next.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
If you missed us at the start, we had a leadoff hitter for the ages. I know it feels a little blasphemous to say Shohei Ohtani going deep, but you know what? That's kind of what it felt like in a Brewers sense or here on the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yuck. We had
more
Jeff
like
Levering.
Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Leadoff bomb.
We'll go Jackson Chourio leadoff bomb. That's fair. Jeff Levering joining us on the Saturday Scramble to start things off. Brewers baseball returns here on 100.5 ESPN Madison. The first spring training game, Riley. 2:00. 2:00 today.
So excited.
Excited to hear Jeff on the call. If you want to go back and watch that interview, you can right here on the live ESPN Madison YouTube stream. And also here, just keep on listening here on 100.5 ESPN Madison. I'm sure on YouTube after the show we'll have that up, probably have that up as well, too. You can hear that on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And also make sure that you text in to the line, 844-770-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line list is more. We want to continue the conversation about Brewers baseball. Riley, I know last week, too, you mentioned that you were pretty heated about national pundits writing off the Milwaukee Brewers again. And it feels like that even then, it's you lose your all-star starter in Freddie Peralta. You don't know what this is going to look like. You have a young team. You might not have all the superstars like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like all of these big teams in Major League Baseball. And yet the Brewers have consistently proven to do it again. And it feels like that they have another chip on their shoulder and a lot more bulletin board material coming into 2026.
They have. And my question is, when are the Brewers going to get respect? They have won the National League Central Division title 3 consecutive years. The Brewers do this. They are going to do it again this year. It doesn't matter what the national pundits say. I don't care that the Cubs brought in Edward Cabrera and Alex Bregman. That is not going to change anything. I don't care that the Brewers traded Freddie Peralta. The way the Brewers develop young talent is second to none, and they have the best farm system in baseball. The Brewers are built to contend for the next 5 to 10 years. The Brewers are going to just continue to dominate baseball, but the Dodgers still exist. So I'm not going to say that. The Brewers are still going to dominate the NL Central until these other teams figure it out. And I don't understand how Freddie Peralta cost this team 10 wins. The Brewers' projections go from they won 97 games last year, and like Jeff Levering said, are they going to win 97 this year? Probably not. But they're probably going to be hovering right around 90, and all I'm seeing are Sports Illustrated, CBS, The Athletic, ESPN, everyone's projecting the Brewers to win 80 to 85 games. The roster is almost completely intact. All of these guys are young. They're going to get better. When will the Brewers get respect? I don't understand. It's so frustrating, but it's enjoyable proving everyone wrong year in and year out.
I want to ask you a question, and let's take 2020 out of this mix. Do you know the last time the Brewers did not win 85 games in a season?
No, I don't. That's a great question, though. Please enlighten me.
10 years ago, 2016, they were 73-89 ever since.
Interesting.
And like I said, let's take the 2020 COVID season out. They were 29-31 in that one. And Jeff Levering, too, which, again, you could go back and listen to his interview. He did mention the struggles that Christian Yelich went through, the 2019 kneecap. I'm sure, obviously, that's a season where...
robbed him of that second MVP.
A lot of weird things happened that season, let alone a 60-game season where it just... We tried to get as much as we could. But 2017, 86 wins. 2018, 96 wins. 2019, 89. 2021, 95. 2022, 86. 2023, 92, and as you said, last season, or actually the season before, 93, and then last season, 97-65. There is clearly a metric for success. There is a metric for consistency, and no matter what I've always respected, whether it's the Craig Council-led Milwaukee Brewers, or now, too, as we talked about this and players back him up, the unquantifiable measurement of Pat Murphy and what he does for this clubhouse. How, as Jeff Levering pointed out, he's able to help guys reset. He's able to help them bring them back to earth and not get too far into the weeds. That's the confidence that I feel like you can get from a leader like that. And you know what? Keep writing the Brewers off because they keep proving themselves year in and year out.
Yep, and Patrick Murphy got an extension, three-year extension. He's going to be terrorizing the National League Central Division for another 3 years at a bare minimum. And we got our old buddy Corey Sparks, host of the Minor League Minutes and current play-by-play broadcaster slash content creator for the Fightin' Phils out in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Congratulations
to Corey. No, there's a drop of me now. Nice. That was fire.
Wait, was the laugh in there too, or was that you?
That was fire. No, there's a little chuckle at the start.
I'm so confused. This is an out-of-body experience.
That's hilarious. I'm not used to being dropped by my hearing my own voice. That's crazy. Thank you, Owen. That's hilarious. But our guy Corey Sparks in the YouTube chat, is he crazy for thinking that Sproat has the stuff to be better than Freddie's got a six-pitch mix, high 90s fastball, that coaching staff and great gloves behind him, saying it's not guaranteed, but he sees the ceiling. Corey, you know a lot more than we do when it comes to minor league prospects and baseball in general, I'd say, when it comes to the nuts and bolts. So I trust your judgment, Corey, on that. And I think the biggest factor there is you mentioned that coaching staff. This coaching staff for the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's what I'm most excited about for 2026. The young, controllable talent on this roster. You have Jackson Churio, who had somewhat of a down year for him last year. His floor is so high. This year, don't be shocked. Don't be
or
shocked.
Floor or ceiling,
in the word, no, his floor.
Okay.
Churio didn't have a fantastic year last year, and it was still a pretty damn good year. His floor is so high, and his ceiling is significantly higher. So, in the words of Patrick Murphy, don't be shocked if you see Jackson Churio in MVP conversations in 2026. He is going to be phenomenal. Jeff Levering brought up Quinn Priester. He feels like a savvy vet on this team. Last year was his first season. Quinn Priester is going to be a stud. Jacob Mizorowski, he's just casually throwing. I saw a video, I think Adam McAlvey posted it. He's just casually throwing like 99-mile-per-hour sliders in batting practice. Whatever. No big deal. Just the Miz. He's going to take a step forward. You have Garrett Mitchell, who was hurt all of last season. He is just oozing with potential. Garrett Mitchell, if he stays healthy this year, man, Brewers outfield, Sal, Churio, Mitchell, Yelich at DH. This team is going to be so fun to watch. So exciting. You have Jesus Madey coming up through the ranks. There is no reason to believe the Brewers aren't going to win the National League Central Division again in 2026 and for the foreseeable future. They're going to be so good.
I can't get over, too, because, again, I didn't even think about this until Jeff Levering had brought up Jesus Madey and the extra reps he is going to get now because of the World Baseball Classic and players going to play for their respective countries. Excited for that. Hopefully there's more, even more juice for that. I remember how it was a couple seasons ago. It felt like that the World Baseball Classic got it not truly got it right, but are a lot closer to making this like the next elevated, the hyped up competition that the Four Nations could be, where that came out of nowhere in a way too, with how exciting the Four Nations are. So if they could emulate something like that in the World Baseball Classic, that's something that I'm excited for. Yes.
And the way it ended too that year with
Ohtani versus Trout.
I mean, come on. That was awesome. I know Team USA lost, but just from a script perspective,
you can't write it any better.
Count too, I believe, right? It was a full count down to the final strike, and he just threw a blank you fastball, as I like to call it, right down the pipe. Here, you want this? You got to hit it.
And it was very much a passing of the torch moment because Mike Trout had been the best player in baseball for so long. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he's still stuck in Angels purgatory. But then it felt like Mike Trout was passing the best player in baseball baton on to Shohei Ohtani. It was pretty cool.
We do have a poll out on the ESPN Madison Twitter to ask Brewers fans, and I want to dive into this some more, and we'll talk about this throughout the rest of the show too. For the Brewers, we do have the poll question out there. For the Brewers, the 2026 season is a success if they blank make the playoffs, win the division, or win/play in the World Series. This is probably the tightest results of the Twitter polls that we have out here. By a narrow give or take 4%, 37% say make the playoffs, 34 say win the division, and 28 respectable winner play in the World Series. So it seems like that the metric in terms of what success is for Brewers fans almost feels like it's all over.
It's split,
It's all up for grabs because I felt like how last season ended, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch on the Saturday Scramble here, we want to keep hearing what you think too about Brewers baseball as we get ready for spring training and how this all starts. And, you know, there's only one way, you know, the road to the World Series or whatever the case is starts now. But I feel like that making the playoffs, and this is a compliment, feels like that is a given now in the best way based off of how the Brewers, no matter what, even with the limited amount of superstars that you have on this roster, you don't have the big bucks guys all throughout the lineup. You have made the playoffs consistently. So I feel like, yeah, you could call it a success, if you will, by making the playoffs, but I don't know if that I would call that a success. Mm-hmm. I think getting to the championship series and advancing to the World Series, for me, based off of what this team can do and how they can prove themselves, I think that feels like a true success to me, if at least I'm looking at a World Series berth. Mm-hmm. That's my mindset.
That's fair, and I know all of us Brewers fans, we're just itching for a World Series. We haven't gone since 1982. We were in the National League Championship Series last year. Brewers were in the National League Championship Series back in 2011 and 2018. We're all itching for a World Series. We all want to win and get to a World Series. But in my mind, I think it will still be a successful season if you win the division. The Cubs went out, invested all this money. The Cubs are hilarious because they could operate like the Dodgers if they wanted to. But they don't. They operate closer to the Brewers. They don't have a farm system. They're like 25th ranked now. The Cubs, this has to be their year, or it's not going to happen. Ian Happ's going to be gone. Seiya Suzuki's going to be gone. Nico Horner's going to be gone. The Cubs, it's make or break for the Cubs this year. And the Pirates, somehow the Pirates are on the rise. The Reds maybe are on the rise this year. I think it's going to be more of a three-horse race between the Brewers, Reds, and Pirates in the years moving forward. The Cubs went all in this year. Brewers, I think, well, again, we all want them to make the World Series. If you are able to once again thwart the Cubs in their quest for the NL Central crown again after they go all in again, that would be a successful year. Because in the playoffs, they're the Dodgers. The Dodgers exist. So it's just a crapshoot once you get to the playoffs. And it's just so hard for me to expect this team to beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. We saw it last year. The Dodgers were hurt all season. They get to the playoffs. They're rested. They have an absurd amount of depth. Then by the time you get to the NLCS, the Brewers are gassed from an emotional series win over the Cubs and a long season where they were all playing all close to 162 games. And then you have the Dodgers superstars who are coming in and played like 100 games this year. So when you, and the Brewers just ran out of steam. So just win the division, give yourself a chance. I know that sounds like loser talk, bites at the apple, but crazy things can happen. The Diamondbacks made it to the World Series. The Rangers won a World Series.
Same season too.
Exactly. So it's possible. Win the division, put yourself in an advantageous spot for the playoffs. That's a success in my mind.
I want to continue this conversation, too, on the other side. Again, it feels like there's a lot of good optimism of where the farm system is, where the young up-and-coming guys on this roster are. But I want to talk about, you know, again, the excitements, the fears, the worries, whatever the case is with the Milwaukee Brewers team and where they stand. Before we go, real quick, how much would you pay for a ticket between a top five basketball matchup, totally off the cuff before we get going?
Top five basketball matchup?
Yeah.
So let's say
Duke and Michigan are playing tonight. That's why I ask. So I want to ask because I have what a front row seat looks like right in front of me right now.
Regular season, somewhere between $100 and $200.
It is going for $6,680 for a seat front row courtside in D.C. between Duke and Michigan, number one and number three.
We'll never do that. That is an obscene waste of money. I'm sorry.
That is. So, hey, top dollar
stuff. Final four, sure.
Final four.
Final four, sure.
Riley, you wouldn't even spend $80 to take a date to a UFC fight.
Exactly. So I guess that shows you where my budget's at.
Hey, you know what? Hey, more money, more problems. The Brewers have proved that it's not all about the cash that's in your system here. It's about coming out with the wins in any way that you can. We'll continue the more Brewers talk here. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, this is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Are the Brewers ready to run it back? Well, sans Freddie Peralta, but that's a different situation.
And Caleb Durbin, don't forget.
Yes, no Caleb Durbin. We hardly knew ye, but...
Hey,
it was about.
We love Caleb Durbin still.
Come on, and Isaac Collins.
It was about
Rookie
the friends
of the
made.
Year
that was a hard one for me to swallow.
Yeah,
trading away Isaac Collins. I really liked him. He was a good ball player.
Yeah, I liked Isaac. I think the Durbinator hurt a little bit more for me. It was just. It's sad. He was also. We had two Rookie of the Year candidates. Actually, we had three. Chad Patrick was in the mix for a little while. But yeah, it was sad seeing Durbin leave, but I'm very excited to watch him hit some taters over the Green Monster. That's gonna be pretty sick.
The Durbinator. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, we are continuing Brewers Talk here on the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Let's check in on our Twitter poll real quick, too. As we mentioned, it's still that narrow lead. This is a tight division. It's basically like if you get 90 wins or something like that, and you're in the playoffs, and you're winning the crown. That's what this poll looks like for the Brewers. The 2026 season is a success if they still in the lead, make the playoffs, but it's starting to slim just a little bit by now 2%. Make the playoffs is still in the lead, followed by win the division, and then some extra room of win/clinch a World Series berth. So, yeah, I think this is we talked a lot about the positives and what excites us the most about this team, what excites us about the continuous success of where the Brewers have been. They've proven that even they don't have to pay top dollar for all these all-stars, big-name players, and yet they can, for the first time really outside of 2020 and 2016, at the minimum, put together an 85-win team. But with all that, sometimes you do wonder in the back of your mind, correct me if I'm wrong, Riley, does the luck run out? Where are you as a Brewers fan? Do you feel like you have any concerns going into the season? What lingers right now as you look ahead to this season?
Yeah, my biggest concern with the Brewers right now is definitely power hitting. I believe they ranked 22nd in home runs hit last season. And Jeff Levering said it. They're built on defense, base running, and pitching. They are not built on hitting the long ball. However, I do think Churio is going to hit more home runs this year. I think William Contreras, now that his thumb has been healed, he's going to hit for more power. Garrett Mitchell, if he's healthy, he has a nice power stroke. He could help boost those numbers. But if you look around the lineup, that's definitely the most glaring weakness on this team right now. Sal Frelick, he's not a big slug guy. You have, I guess, Andrew Montes. You have Blake Perkins as the potential starting, probably backup center fielder if Garrett Mitchell's healthy. He's not a big power threat. You look at the infield, Bryce Terang, not a big power guy. Joey Ortiz, he sure as heck is not a power guy. Andrew Vaughn, hope he can continue to make the strides that we saw once we the Brewers acquired him post-trade deadline. So I think there are definitely spots where the Brewers are going to increase their power this season. But if you want a glaring weakness, I think the biggest one is that ability to hit it over the fence, because especially come playoff time, big games, you need those game-changing swings with men on base. We can put up a crooked number in an inning, and right now the Brewers are certainly lacking a little bit in the power department.
Yeah, I want to come back to those names that you mentioned, Riley. I'm looking at MLB.com. Adam McAlvey breaks it down perfectly. Three priorities for the Brewers as spring training play begins. The first one, I totally forgot that this was happening. We have the automatic ball strike challenge system coming up this season, which also it's sponsored by a cellular phone company. No free ads out here, but
not surprised. Everything's
sponsored.
I have a hunch.
Everything's
on into 2026.
Yep, that's it. Everything has presented by. Who's going to be on the Brewers jersey at some point?
I just want Saturday Scramble to be presented by
someone.
That's
true.
Here
that's
soon.
True.
It's a double-edged sword.
That's true. That's
it helps
true.
Make us money.
Thank you. thank you for keeping me in check there.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Quick trip. That's fair.
Thoughts.
Show it to the ESPN Madison YouTube folks over here.
Saturday
in Wisconsin.
Scramble presented by Quick Trip. Come on. Got my little caribou coffee here, breakfast sandwich. Quick Trip. What are we thinking?
Over deliver.
I think it's a natural fit. We love Quick Trip. Saturday morning, where are you going? You're going to Quick Trip.
Oh, great. Now he's doing live reads.
Now he's doing impromptu live reads. I'm just saying, it's a perfect fit.
Well, the ABS system is the first thing that Adam McAlvey lists here. The second is the running game, both when you're defending and when you're stealing bases. But the third one, I think, again, Riley, you brought up a lot of these names. Bryce Terang, Jackson Chourio, Joey Ortiz, also Tyler Black, part of the list, too. Most of these guys, actually all of these guys, those four names are going to be playing in the World Baseball Classic. So, again, as it gives your Jesus Madays of the world extra reps, you do need to, in the back of your mind, think probably you got to keep these guys healthy, too, because these aren't spring training games. These games are, as we mentioned, Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout for the final out to win the World Baseball Classic. It's almost like, again, playing the Fall Classic in March. These are big tournament games. You're traveling. You're in different spots. Your schedule really feels like that you're in season already. So health could be a big concern, if you ask me.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not too worried about the World Baseball Classic, but that would be worst case scenario.
Yes.
If one of the Brewers, especially one of the studs like Chourio, Terang, not quite as worried about Tyler Black. Would love to see him get some reps at third base if Luis Renifo. I can't remember. Is that how Jeff pronounced it? Because his name is spelled phonetically Renigfo, but I believe you pronounced it Renifo?
Renifo.
We'll have to go back and clarify that later.
Fine.
But if he doesn't grab the bull by the horns, that starting third base spot, Tyler Black, we'll see. But I want these guys to go all out. I want Abner Uribe to be putting his all into the World Baseball Classic. I want to see him roll some dice. But just please don't get hurt. I'm not too worried about the Brewers being injury prone, but it's something to watch.
So the pronunciation is Luis Renifo.
Okay.
Luis Renifo.
Thank you. Luis Renifo.
Renifo. I love it.
I liked Jeff Levering's optimism about Luis Renifo, because I didn't know much about him. It seemed sort of like a depth move for the Brewers, but it sounded like Jeff was saying he's going to be the starting guy, barring the emergence of one of these young guys very quickly. So I'm excited to see what he does, too.
To put a bow on the excitement versus worries, one thing that let's bring it back, excited the absolute most about Riley. You could sum that up. What is the most exciting thing about this upcoming baseball season for the Milwaukee Brewers? What gives you the biggest what jazzes you up the most?
Jackson Chourio, man. Yeah. I'm so excited to see him play again. I think he is going to take another massive step forward. He is so young. He is so talented. He is an absolute joy to watch. I cannot quantify my excitement to watch Jackson Churio play some baseball again. And I'm not even mentioning all the other young talent that I already did. Just Jackson Churio. He's going to be a stud. He's going to be an MVP talks. Mark my words.
I feel like what excites me is it actually goes back to last year when we had Dom Catronio of the Brewers Radio Network on Saturday Scramble. And what helped them be more into this, we're ready for the playoffs, we can do no wrong type of attitude is the emergence of Christian Yelich. You mentioned he's a 34-year-old guy. He is suddenly a big-time veteran in this clubhouse. Mm-hmm. But if Christian Yelich can at least get back to, as he was very close, I think flirting with the 30
home
run mark.
Yeah, he had 29 home runs and I believe 106 RBIs. He had a very good year.
Very productive.
If you can flirt with, let's say, I would say the 25 home run mark, if you can flirt with that, I think that's what helps this Brewers team be successful. The flip side that I do want to see, I think that they missed out on last season, is you have to get, as you said, that big power bat. If you are truly in the mix and not just trying to play for a playoff spot or a top seed, like you are the team to beat in the National League, but you know that you're missing that piece, don't be afraid to get aggressive at the trade deadline. I think maybe could that have been the thing that separated them last season? That could have been. That really could have been it.
But that's not the Brewers at trade deadlines. Mm-hmm. We saw them trade for, you know, CC Sabathia, but can you think of another time that they made a trade deadline move that lifted them up?
Come on, Owen. You don't remember Jonathan Scope?
Oh, my God.
That was a massive move. He was awesome.
I don't want to
remember?
Hear that name ever again. There's one good moment of Jonathan Scope.
He had the grand slam against the Giants.
After Madison Bumgarner plunked Ryan Braun and should have been thrown out of the game.
Yes.
But then Scope hit the grand slam. Only good thing Scope ever did in
ever
Milwaukee.
Did. He was garbage outside of that one moment. Jonathan Scope. And he was supposed to be good, too. That pissed me off. That's the thing. That's why the Brewers don't take these big swings, because then it leads to Jesse Winker or Jonathan Scope.
Well, sometimes you take a big hack and sometimes you take a big miss, but opportunity is always around the corner, boys. And maybe we take some time for a deep breath. It is the Lunar New Year. I'm very excited
to
get celebrate. Yes, a traditional.
Looking suave.
Very much so. So we are doing some ties here into the Lunar New Year as we get ready for the Year of the Horse. And I wanted to break it down for some fortunes that some Wisconsin superstars may have in their near future. This is coming up on the Saturday Scramble. Breathe, relax. We'll be right back. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Checking in on our Twitter poll here, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Right now, it looks like the make the playoffs seems like, for most fans right now, very narrow still on this Twitter poll, but make the playoffs seems like the most successful measure as we continue the conversation here.
I want to win the division.
Win the division.
I want to beat the Cubs.
Feel like it's still win or play in the World Series, at least. You were so close. We were so close in the National League Championship Series, and I think you got to be in the Fall Classic at least.
Hey,
for
if
me.
The Brewers make the playoffs and the Dodgers get bumped off, that changes things.
Well, hey, who knows? Who knows what we have in store for the Brewers?
I mean, for me, just win the division. I think it's more of a thing of self-realization, self-awareness that you're not the Dodgers. You don't. To me, there was a big talent gap in the NLCS, and you could visibly see that. So win the division, make the playoffs. Maybe you have luck on your side next time around. Maybe the ball goes around.
I really like that you use the word luck, because that transitions perfectly, gentlemen, into what we have ahead from us here. As we mentioned before we went into break, it is the Lunar New Year. Gong Hei Fa Choi, everybody. For all my Cantonese speakers, for my Mandarin, Gong Zi Fa Chai. But celebrating Lunar New Year, also known as Chinese New Year, very excited.
Do I say thank you to that?
So you would say, so basically what it is, it's actually not a happy, it's not in full translation, Happy New Year. So we could try this if we want to. It's Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Which, basically, if you also know Ronnie Chang, the comedian who's on The Daily Show, his funny bit is, the translation is essentially, hope you get rich, which means that you are pushing for luck, prosperity, good luck, and good fortune. So to set things up.
So definitely a thank you.
Yes. So like I said, guys, we're trying to manifest good luck. We're trying to manifest good fortune, prosperity, opportunity, and what challenges the year the horse brings. Because I will say, guys, this Lunar New Year, the stars suggest embracing change, acting on attraction, and allowing passion and intuition to guide everything, including your love life, through the energetic year of the horse. So we're going to dive into this, guys. I'm going to give you three Wisconsin superstars and what the good fortune and what the challenges they have ahead of them this year. So as we dive into this, it's Lunar New Year, the year of the fire horse, fast energy, bold momentum, big turns. And today, I'm going to give you those three based on the Chinese zodiac and their animals. If a truth lands, Owen, please feel free to offer us a gentle chime. Can we hear that too real quick? Thank you. We start things out just a couple hours north of us in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Jordan Love, quarterback one, the Tiger. Take a breath in, because the tiger does not chase. The tiger waits, he listens, and then moves with certainty. This fire horse year brings Jordan Love clarity under pressure, something that he probably needs. Quick reads, calm feet, and clean decisions.
All right.
When chaos shows up, the tiger's eyes stay steady, and that steadiness can become contagious.
That sounds like Jordan Love. Steady under pressure. One of the best quarterbacks last year under pressure. I love it.
Now the challenges. His challenge in this Lunar New Year for this Tiger is overextension. Trying to carry every moment alone. Maybe dropped passes. Maybe just so close to beating the Chicago Bears in the wild card. But coming up empty. Even though the passes were there. Even though they were. Some of those drop balls. In a fast year, the Tiger can sprint when it should stalk. Don't force hero plays. Shape the moment. Take what's offered. And let the defenses make the mistakes.
Jordan, he does play hero ball a little too much sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All those deep ball interceptions and double coverage, triple coverage, just trying to be the hero. Man, that was spot on.
There we go. So before we move on to this one, the mantra for Jordan will be this. Repeat after me, boys. I don't force it, I frame it.
I don't force it, I frame it.
The lucky focus for him. Your luck lives in timing, not speed. The tiger arrives exactly when it's meant to.
It's like Gandalf.
Yeah, kind of. Into the second one. We continue our Brewers talk here. And we talk about a young, emerging superstar. Hardly just pushing past his teens. A monkey, Jackson Churio. That's what his sign is. Jackson Churio. The monkey, playful, sharp, creative.
Also accurate.
Monkey doesn't just play the game. He plays with the game. The good fortune side is growth through experimentation. A lot of youth coming into this team. He's a young guy, but yet kind of feels like he could be the leader in this clubhouse, right? New counters, new adjustments. New try me again energy. You know what? Just because I struck out doesn't mean I can't go up in the next AB and go deep. This year favors evolution and the monkeys who evolve separate. Could it be an MVP season? Could he reach 30, 40 home runs? Could he reach that caliber? And also his presence pops. This one's interesting, boys. The stadium feels different when you are involved. So the challenge that he has proposed this season is distraction disguised as opportunity. The fire horse years open 10 doors at once. It's going to be a lot. We know Jeff Levering had said too. That was what Pat Murphy does, is try to ground the guys. There's going to be a lot of different things coming into the direction. And the monkey wants to swing through everything. But you can't hit every single pitch. Mastery is one hallway, one routine, one repeatable rhythm. So his mantra here, as we repeat after, one swing, one thought.
One swing, one thought.
Feels good, doesn't it?
That is one that I'm maybe sort of pushback.
Yeah.
I feel like last year, Chorio had a really good growth at the plate in terms of not chasing as much. I felt like his rookie year, he chased a lot of pitches outside of the zone. When he got to the middle of last year, I think it was July, when he went on just
a tear.
Before he had that hamstring injury against the Cubs, I felt like he had one of the best plate disciplines on that roster, and he was just something fierce. Because he was either going to draw a walk or he was going to hit one to the double or hit one in the left field bleachers. So I think he's shown already good growth on not chasing pitches that he saw rookie year. So my pushback to that.
Mm. Riley?
Yeah, I would agree. His play discipline greatly improved. And I still think, though, that could be especially with the jump, the MVP caliber jump I think he will take. If there is a shortcoming or something that he has to avoid falling back into a bad habit, it's the plate discipline and getting overexcited. So I think I understand. I'm going to hedge. I'm going to split the difference. I think, Pablo, you make a good point. And Owen, you provide valid pushback. And I think this year he will be incredibly disciplined at the plate. But I'm sure there are going to be a couple times this year where he strikes out swinging on not the best pitch in the world.
Before we move on, I will have this. I know you guys have some pretty solid long baseball careers you guys have played. Owen, I know that you played club baseball over at Bradley University. Riley, I know you're also a big baseball guy too. You played through Milton and still wherever pickup you play over at softball league.
Yes, still play slow pitch.
I'll tell you guys this, as guys who love being on the dirt and love playing ball, here is Jackson Chourio's lucky focus. Maybe this pushes you over. Your luck lives in rhythm. When you are in rhythm, you don't press. And when you don't press, the league has a problem. So, hey, stay in rhythm. There we go. Stay in rhythm.
Especially in the field. You're in rhythm when you're dialed in. You already know. And that's the thing. Baseball is such a mental game. Especially when you're in the field. You have to know exactly what the situation is. Mm-hmm. You have to know where the ball is going before the pitch is thrown. And when you're in rhythm, when you're in sync, you know what's going on. You just do it.
All right. All right, boys. One more transition into the chime real quick, Owen. Let's move on. There we go. Our last and final one. The man, the myth, the legend, the Greek freak himself.
Mm.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. The dog. Loyal. Protective. Purpose-driven. A dog doesn't just win. It guards something. So the good fortune for him is that influence, not just stats, but gravity. Leadership that organizes the room. This year, it supports recognition, responsibility, and the kind of respect that shows up in teammates playing sharper around you. Now, granted, he did say, we're not playing to our fullest. We need better leadership. We need to be better. So the challenge is not or is carrying what isn't yours. The dog energy can absorb tension. The fire horse energy runs hot. Guard your peace like it is an all-encompassing rebound. And remember, this is a big one, boys, and I'm wondering how you feel about this. Loyalty doesn't mean silence. Say the thing early and say it calm. Perhaps being ready for a new home? Perhaps are we doing enough to build this championship roster? I will leave that up to 34 himself. But some very interesting challenges for the Milwaukee superstar. The mantra that we have here, repeat after me. I lead with calm. I finish with force.
I lead with calm. I finish with force.
And the lucky focus once again.
Giannis would like that.
Yeah, yes, he would.
Yeah. Regardless, it fits Giannis really well.
This one is interesting to cap it off, is that his luck lives in community. Better voices, not more voices. We know that Thanasis is defending him, too, making sure, who is he talking to?
It's a thing he keeps his circle small.
That's it.
It makes sense.
That's it. Make sure that, for the Tiger, Jordan Love again, stalk, then strike. For Jackson Chourio, the monkey, play, then pounce. And for Giannis, the dog, guard, then unleash. That is what we have for the Lunar New Year. For all of our Wisconsin superstars, thank you so much for allowing this to happen, guys. This was fun. I appreciate you all of us sharing this opportunity together as we embrace the Year of the Horse. Happy Lunar New Year, everybody. Gong Hei Fa Choi to everybody once again. And we'll see. we'll see exactly what good luck is coming their way. But even though we mentioned that Jordan Love, it's about staying grounded, it's about being ready to go. Granted, the special teams, somehow
that's for damn sure.
Had a fumble, and yet we are a month and a half removed from Green Bay Packer football. We'll talk about this snafu on the other side. This is a Saturday Scramble at 100.5 ESPN.
It's time to think outside the pocket on Saturday Scramble.
So many NBA fans are ridiculous. Oh, I'm a Kevin Durant fan. I'm a LeBron fan. I have a Lakers jersey, a Heat jersey, a Cavs jersey. I just follow the player. That's stupid. Cheer for your team. Cheer for your hometown team.
Put some respect to the name.
On 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
When the sun goes down in my side of town.
Alongside Riley Auk, here's Pablo Iglesias.
It's a new era for the Green Bay Packers and the special teams unit, right? Sure, yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah, a new era. I mean,
something new is going to happen.
There's going to be a new coach, which is great. We all wanted Rich Bisaccia gone. But the timing and the way it happened, I don't think this was how any Packers fan drew it up.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk here. This is Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Got a few things here in the Carbus Talk and text line we want to catch up on, too. Ryan, the psychedelic advisor, always happy that you guys are listening when I am at work. Just want to say thanks. He also loved the bits. There is a request to do Caleb Williams. Maybe towards the end of the show, we'll see.
I don't know if we need to do Caleb Williams.
I could try on social
that's
or something.
Just me.
Either on my social media platforms, we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do a special reading for you, Ryan, the psychedelic advisor.
But thank you for listening, Ryan.
Yes,
really appreciate it.
Thank you. Did somebody say the Zen Master?
I think Ben and Madison on the YouTube chat, Zen Master Pablo.
Yes. We try to bring good vibes in here. But yeah, with the way that the Packers have handled, with Rich Bisaccia stepping down, and from what we're hearing that he was trying to figure out last season of maybe this is the time where I do it, and it felt like, did Matt LaFleur convince him to come back? Because clearly it's not like special teams got any better. You deal with injuries, you deal with all this, but the Romeo Doubs fumble too in Chicago, that feels like it's unacceptable. So
yeah,
special
but
teams,
even like I'm not gonna defend Rich Bisaccia's coaching. I understand we heard, especially on Wildy and Tausch this year, that it sounds like he's a phenomenal human being.
Yes.
Great dude. So all respect to Rich Bisaccia as a person. He sounds awesome. As a coach, didn't like what I saw, but Romeo Doubs, that fumble, I'm actually not gonna put all of that on Rich Bisaccia, because you assume you put your handsiest wide receiver out there that he'd make that play, and man, it is unacceptable. But I'd put that more on Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, stepping down about a month and a half after the season too. I feel like that hurts the Packers if more too, because where are you at in the hiring cycle? I mean, isn't that why the Packers hired Jonathan Gannon so quickly? Is because they were afraid to lose him. He was one of the hotter candidates that was interviewing for defensive coordinator jobs. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to make these decisions, and yes, you step down, or maybe it was behind the closed doors and Matt LaFleur wants to move in a different direction, we'll do this out of respect for you. You could say that you step down. Whatever the case is, I don't care. But that hurts this team more. And yet, Jim Rutledge earlier this week, who's also a co-host on The Jump Around, also produced by Riley Yauch, which you can hear Thursdays at 12:30 on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Jim Rutledge, though, during the weekday show, Jim, Matt, and Molly, believes that it doesn't matter, I believe. It doesn't matter. I have no idea what he meant by this one. This really intrigued me, though. Here's what he had to say on Jim, Matt, and Molly earlier this week.
Rich Bisaccia, I think getting rid of him is a net zero, and I'm going to say at best, because I don't think special teams coaches matter that much. There's not some crazy schematic difference between these guys. And
the philosophies could be different.
I've never heard anyone, like, when you talk about special teams coaches, it's about how they bring their energy.
See, so I don't fully disagree that at this stage in the process, with Rich Bisaccia waiting, I believe it was 38 days since the season ended, to announce his resignation and that he'd be stepping away. Now probably at best the Packers are going to be at net zero. It's going to be really hard to improve your special team simply by hiring a new coordinator when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel for said coordinator. You're probably, at this point, there's a very good chance the Packers end up with a first-time special teams coordinator or someone making the jump from the collegiate level to the National Football League. It'll be their first time coaching in the NFL. So you put yourself in a really bad spot. But to Jim's point, as we heard on the jump around with the Badgers special teams coach, Matt Mitchell, that a lot of the, at least when it comes to kicking and punting, they have their own specialist coaches. It's not really the special teams coordinator like fine-tuning their game or their kicking or punting. So if that's the case and it comes down more to leadership and organization and schematics, then the Packers put themselves in a really bad spot. And it's on Rich Bisaccia for waiting this long to leave, but it's also on Goody for not investing in the right players for special teams. And that's where I stand.
And going back to, you brought up the point of maybe someone could make the jump from the college ranks to the NFL. It's not as normal compared to other coordinator or position coaches. Because when you think about it, college football and NFL have very different special teams rules. I mean, take the kickoff, for example. It's very different. So it's very rare to see the college coaches make that jump specifically to be special teams coordinators for NFL teams. But I found a list of four special teams coordinators that were special teams coordinators for the 2025 season that currently don't have a team right now going into 2026. Okay. So the four names: Todd McMahon, who was fired midseason by the Raiders.
Awesome. Yep.
This is off to a hot start.
I want a Raiders cast off.
Yes.
Yep, sounds
this
great.
Is it.
Marquise Williams, who was not retained by the Falcons when they hired Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Thomas, I hope I don't butcher this. Thomas McGuffey. He was fired by the Buccaneers after the season. And Chase Blackburn, who was fired midseason by the Rams. How does those four names appeal
I don't want a McVay cast off either, because McVay is just Matt LaFleur with the Super Bowl ring. Don't want that. And the Rams special teams under said coach sucked. So that's not ideal. And then, so our best options right now, if you're looking at special teams coordinators with experience in the National Football League, are a Falcons coach who is not retained. That's probably the best option. And then someone who was fired by the Buccaneers?
Correct, after the season.
Nice.
I don't know any of these guys, to be totally honest.
I'm not going to pretend I know who any of these dudes are.
But the catastrophic failure that sticks out to me, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, this is the Saturday Scramble as we talk about Packers special teams, is that wasn't Rich Bisaccia... He was. Rich Bisaccia was the big hot name on the market, and the Packers landed him, and yet this ended up being a huge fumble and blew up right into their faces. And yes, again, if you're Goody, you talked about it a couple weeks ago, that Brandon McManus wasn't 100%. That's potentially why you had all these kicking problems. But you want to know, you also had kicking problems last season, too, with Carlson, who you drafted, and that ended up not helping out.
The Narv dog.
Yeah, the Narv dog. And it's like, Packers fans were hoping. That was, I think, if anything, that was the one place where Packers fans are hoping. It's like, okay, I hope this field goal goes through. I hope this PAT goes through. Because it never felt certain. It never felt guaranteed. And with Rich Bisaccia being the hot name, and it's like, this guy could lead the unit, it just didn't work out. That's where I just feel like, again, it's a catastrophic failure.
Yeah, and Rich Bisaccia, his decision to allow Brandon McManus to continue to kick through injuries, that was a boneheaded coaching decision. Mm-hmm. That was dumb. And that led, you could argue, to the Packers losing to the Bears in the wild card round. That was a major factor. And I believe it was also his decision to allow Josh Jacobs to start returning kicks in the game against the Bears. Why did that start happening? Then Keyshawn Nixon decides to be selfless and start returning kicks again, or Rich Bisaccia decided to force him to return kicks in the playoff game because
as
we needed it. Why did it take that long? Why are you doing this in the playoff game? Like, just some wild, wild coaching decisions near the end of the season for Rich Bisaccia. So that's the thing. I don't think many Packers fans are sad that he's gone. They wanted Bisaccia. A lot of us have wanted Bisaccia out for the past few years now. It's the timing. Why was he retained? Because Brian Gutekunst spoke glowingly of him and his impact on the culture in his press conference with the media, which was, what, 2-3 weeks ago now? And Matt LaFleur has only spoke positively about Rich Bisaccia. But I'm sure Bisaccia, when he decided to step out, wasn't hearing from the Packers brass that, hey, Rich, we're really going to invest in special teams this year. Like, we know we've struggled outside of kickoff coverage. We've really struggled on special teams. This year, we're going to invest. We're going to help you out. I don't think he heard that and decided to leave. So I don't think the Packers' approach to special teams is changing anytime soon. And now you're going to hire a coach that, at best, is marginally better than Rich Bisaccia.
You can make Rich Bisaccia, if you will, the punching bag in this one. It's like he should have stepped down sooner and whatnot, but it feels like it comes back to Goody and roster construction. I do, the more I think about it, I do lean a little bit more. I understand what Jim Rutledge was saying on Jim, Matt, and Molly, saying that the coach, I still think the coach matters. I wouldn't say that it doesn't matter who you have in the building. It's more of, yes, that does weigh in, or that does have a factor into it, but it's also roster construction. And if you're, every coach says it, it's the cliche of, we need to win all three phases. It's not just offense and defense, it's special teams too. If you feel like that you can be a team that wants to hoist the Lombardi Trophy, you need to focus on all three assets of the game. Because
yes,
otherwise, if you're 2 of 3, 66%, that's not even a passing grade. That's hardly a passing grade.
Yes, and it's top to bottom. It's not just Rich Bisaccia. He made some dumb decisions. He deserved to be fired. But now he's gone, and it's up to the Packers, Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, to fix it. Special teams have been a problem for the Green Bay Packers for, what, over a decade now?
Mm-hmm.
For a very long time. They have to decide, hey, is this something we're going to actually put some effort towards? You don't have to sell the farm to make your special teams great. Just invest a little bit more than you are. Just a little bit. Get them to, if the special teams for the Packers are just above mediocre, that's perfect. That's great. Because their offense should be good. Their defense, they got to shore up a lot on offense and defensive line, secondary as well. There are a lot of holes. But they should be a playoff team just with how good their offense and defense is. Just shore up the special, just a little bit. Just invest a little more, please. That's all I ask. And I'm looking up stats. I'm pretty sure there's a reason the Falcons' special teams coordinator wasn't retained. The Falcons finished dead last in kick return yards. Buccaneers only 5 spots ahead of them. So 2 of the teams with worse special teams.
Nope.
The Packers, the Buccaneers, and the Falcons. Let's take a look at kicking. Okay, Falcons, Buccaneers, better at kicking than the Packers. That's good. Now let's look at punting. Falcons and Buccaneers. Buccaneers are second to last. Falcons are like 25th.
I want to continue a little bit about this because it seems like we're getting more into Goody territory. And I want to ask, and I want you guys to think about this question as we head into the break. What is standing in the, are the Packers, actually, let me rephrase this question. Are the Packers standing in their own way when it comes to making this team better? Let's talk about that on the other side. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Ock, this is a Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
All right, I think Jason Wilde says it best, too. We're trying to get back onto the clock here and continue the Packers conversation.
Running a little over, but that's all right.
The 11 o'clock hour here. We are at segment 2.
Yes,
and it is
at 11:30.
At 11:30. 11:31. So I'm sure Jason Wilde, too, Saturday Scrambler, is proud of the way that we are doing time management out here as we continue a little bit more Packers
Jeff
talk.
Jeff Levering is our Brian Bulaga.
Yes.
Makes us smarter about the Brewers, sets us behind.
100%. 100%. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Guys, I had a question that I wanted to try to elaborate, try to talk a little bit about some more, because Riley, I think you were alluding more towards, again, is Jim Rutledge had said earlier, and Jim Mattingly this week, the special teams coach itself may or may not matter. I think it seems like that we all feel like it still does, but there is some weight to how you build this roster, how you set yourself up for success. And something that Kyle Wallace on KVN said earlier this week, too, of, you know what, it doesn't matter. If Rich Bisaccia is stepping down, that means it's the prom's 2 weeks away and you can still get a date no matter what. Yeah, you could get a date. That's fine. But you want to know something? That doesn't mean just pick up a date wherever the case is. You could be in the same situation. So if the Packers have that type of mentality, if the Packers have that type of mindset, then you're going to be setting yourself up for failure once again.
Yeah, you're not. You may get a date to the prom, but you're not taking a cheerleader.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And that's the thing. Like, for the Packers right now, even if they did find a cheerleader to take to prom, even if they make a phenomenal hire, is Goody going to invest in special teams? We've been talking Brewers. We talked Brewers all first hour, and I'm frustrated with how the pundits never seem to give them any of the respect they deserve. When year in and year out, they prove that they're going to exceed expectations, they're going to win the division, they're going to make the playoffs. The Packers, year in and year out, they don't invest in special teams. They don't make it a priority. So why are we expecting them, even if they make a home run hire at special teams coordinator, why are we expecting them to do anything differently when it comes to special teams?
Yeah, again, are the Packers standing in their own way on special teams? We want to hear from you on the Carbo Stock and Text line, 844-770-3776. What is preventing the special teams unit from being at the level that the offense is, that the defense, granted, you know, the offense had its stalling moments throughout the season, especially in that second half into the wild card game, but the defense has shown its flashes. You get Micah Parsons back in October, that's a plus sign. When are we going to feel like that the pressure is on for Jordan Love, for him to truly be in this MVP top five conversation? Like, I feel like he's kind of teetering. We talked a little bit about it last week. I don't know. I just that's a question that I just want to get out there too. When are we going to finally start applying pressure on Jordan Love?
I thought we were talking special teams.
I don't know. I'm just concerned.
Jordan Love.
I'm just concerned all across the board.
I'm not worried about Jordan Love. I'm worried about special teams. I want a dang kicker that I know is going to make an extra point in a playoff game. That's what I want. I'm not worried about Jordan Love. I'm worried about this dang special teams unit. I want a kick returner that I think can, hey, maybe bust one a time or two. That'd be cool. Daniel Whelan rocks. He's a boomer. He's a great punter. Not worried about him. But hey, could we get a kicker who I can trust, who Packers fans aren't like, every time he steps up, like anytime he walks onto the field? Could we get a kicker who we don't have to worry about? Could we get a returner that we're excited to watch? No, I don't think we're going to.
Could we at least get a receiver?
I'm not worried about Jordan Love.
If we put a receiver on onside kick, onside kick duty.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Dobbs is probably gone, so but we shouldn't have to worry about that.
But it's not like the first time that's happened, too. Yeah, Brandon Bostic, who, by the way, too, I loved just Riley's reaction. Apparently, Brandon Bostic, former Packers tight end wide receiver, is going to Minnesota.
That is correct.
As a pass catching coach.
I believe there was a soccer manager, soccer coach, I forget exactly what they're called, for one of the Premier League teams out in England, who once said, if I say what I think, I'll be suspended 6 months. If I say what I think about Brandon Bostic going to Minnesota, I'll be suspended 6 months. So
yes.
I'll refrain.
He shall refrain.
I feel good as a Badger fan.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Make sure you stay on to the tight ends then. When it comes to Wisconsin, Minnesota, Axe Week, then
you could take the
day off if it comes to that. But
yeah, Minnesota's onside kick coverage gonna be garbage.
What
moving forward?
What I want to see, real quick, and we'll save the energy for Riley for Riled Up, is, again, the discipline, is the investments. It's, again, it doesn't all just lean onto the coaching and then go from there. It's how are you, I go back to what Mark Tauscher said weeks ago, where the Green Bay Packers have shown that they are willing to put in the investments, they're willing to help out with the coaches, the players, anything. All you need to do is focus on your job. If that is the way that the Green Bay Packers have operated year in and year out, all the way, but well beyond to the Mark Tauscher years, If that's how they've operated, then how are you going to make this special teams unit better? What are you now going to do to invest in special teams if you feel like that that's a category that you've come short, that you've had shortcomings every year? And Brad Nortman, who I'm sure is going to be buzzing knowing that we are talking about special teams right now. You can hear him on Kyle Bruss and Nortman weekdays 2 to 4 here on ESPN Madison. He mentioned that Graham Gano, when he was part of the Super Bowl team, when Graham Gano was on the Super Bowl team with him and the Carolina Panthers, is that he would just at least pepper some kicks for the kick return unit to make sure that they were ready to go for any onside kick opportunities. You never knew when it was going to happen. He would just make sure that you stay on your toes. So again, the way that you prepare is different, but how are you going to have that preparation plan? How are you going to practice these live ball situations? How are you going to make sure that at any situation, if your number is called, you got to be in and you got to be ready to go and you get those reps well before that opportunity comes?
Yeah, maybe bring in a kicker that'd be willing to do that. But if history tells us anything, Packers aren't going to invest in special teams. They're going to be subpar this season, and the Brewers are going to win the NL Central.
All right. Well, there we go. Putting some Brewers talk in there, too. Well, like I said, I want to save the energy a little bit and also get back onto the clock as best as we can to complete the 11 o'clock hour. It is our favorite time of this 11 o'clock hour, too. Riled Up is coming up next on deck as we get ready for that. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Well, Riley almost had a bad omen over here. We have the Pat Murphy bobblehead here on the Saturday Scramble.
I don't know why we didn't bust this out during the Jeff Levering interview.
Bad Pat Murphy in studio. Riley, you want to tell us real quick before we get into Riled Up what you almost did?
Yeah, I was reaching over. I was like, oh, look, it's a Pat Murphy bobblehead. And then I was going to grab it, I accidentally knocked it over. But thanks to my cat-like reflexes, I snatched it and put it back before it fell. So
Packers special teams unit could have used you.
They could have.
They really could have used you.
I would have taken the hit on that onside kick. To beat the Bears, I would have jumped up, snatched it, and gotten killed, but... And I might have fumbled, like, if when I got knocked unconscious by a
so you still would have
Bears
fumbled.
Defender. But, see, I'm hoping I would have grabbed it, snatched it, would have taken the hit, gotten decapitated, fumbled the ball because I'm, like, and I'm knocked out. But it would have flown out of bounds and the Packers would have had the ball.
The hero we truly do not deserve. Not all heroes wear capes. But it's time to fly, Riley. It is time for our segment here in the 11 o'clock hour. It's time to get riled up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, it's time to get riled up. And, you know, today, again, I'm a little excited for this riled
That's
up.
That's not the point
I'm
of this
I'm a little
one.
Excited.
Got to get mad.
Because the United States of America defeated Canada in women's hockey for the gold medal, and they get another chance to do it tomorrow, bright and early, at 7 a.m. Central Time. I'm so excited for that game. I was so excited to watch the United States of America destroy Canada. Nothing makes me feel more patriotic than demolishing Canada in athletics. Really anything, but specifically hockey. I don't care about hockey for the most part outside of the Four Nations last year and the Olympics every 4 years every 4 years, Winter Olympics. So it was awesome. We got to watch six Badgers play on Team USA. We got to watch Layla Edwards with a couple of game-winning assists, a game-tying,
yeah,
a game-winning assist. We watched Hillary Knight, former Badger, score the game-tying goal. It was amazing. Got to beat Canada in a sport that they invented. They love to claim that, oh, we're the best. Oh, we're Canada. We're so high and mighty. They're so sanctimonious. I just hate Canada. That's the thing. I despise Canadians. Most vocab hour. Except Ricardo. I like Ricardo.
Wait, we can't do this. We can't say I despise Canadians. Full disclaimer. Everybody watching on the ESPN
like
Madison
Ricardo
YouTube channel,
Canada,
waving my
big
hands.
Big fan of Ricardo in Canada. Packers fan.
We can't come in here and say I despise Canadians.
When it comes to athletics, yes. When it comes to the Olympics, yes. Outside of this time of year, I'm sure they're amazing. I'm sure they're great. But they're so annoying. during the Olympics and especially with hockey. They're like, oh, we invented hockey. Oh, we're Canada, so just give us the gold. We deserve it because we're Canada. We're better than you. They just have such a holier-than-thou mentality. And it's so frustrating to deal with. They're the Minnesota to our Wisconsin. The United States of America is Wisconsin, and Canada is Minnesota. They're little brother. They're always going to be little brother. They love to gloat. They love to tease and mock when they win. And they don't know how to lose. They can't handle victory with grace, and they can't handle defeat with humility. It's great. I love it because nothing better, as we heard in the United States of America hype video for this Olympics, nothing better than Canadian tears. It's the best. I love it. So I am so excited. It was so great to defeat Canada in the women's gold medal game. And it's going to be even better when the United States finishes off the sweep tomorrow for the men's gold. It rocks. Screw the Canadian hockey team.
But little brother in the Minnesota-Wisconsin series has won four out of the last times. Four out of the
that
last
doesn't
five
mean,
times.
It's how you act. And, it's who you are.
And Canada still owns the all-time series between the U.S.
Doesn't matter. It's how they act. They're little brother. They always act like little brother because they're the little brother country.
I don't know.
So
they can't get kind of little brother to me.
They can't get it out of their system.
Feels kind of little brother to me.
Okay.
You calling Riley little brother here?
Sounds like you're not cheering for the United States of America.
All I'm saying is
that's wild.
All I'm saying is
I can't believe you're not supporting our
hockey team. Not, but I'm just saying the wins are there right now. How can you say the team that's winning a little bit more is a little brother?
It's because of how they act. It's just in their nature to be little brother.
I don't know.
Same with Minnesota. They storm the court. That's the thing. Minnesota, they storm the field after beating the worst Wisconsin team in three decades. Canada, you know if they win, they'll be favored to win tomorrow. The men's team will be. And you know what they're going to do if they beat the United States men's team? They're going to be going to every social media platform. They're going to be declaring victories and everything. They're going to make it the biggest deal in the world. And they're expected to win. It's ridiculous. That's just who they are.
I would love to know what just Olympic Village in general, too, with what it was like from Matt Hamilton's experience, but also what are the egos like on the men's hockey
team?
Really just all the hockey teams, because hockey culture in general just feels so unique and so different to me. As much as we talked about here in the office, here at the ESPN Madison office, Sidney Crosby most likely won't play in this match, but we'll see. It's for the gold medal.
Mm. Or he was more likely to play.
More likely to play. Yeah. This guy won a Stanley Cup on a torn ACL. And it was a pretty freshly torn ACL, and he went. Granted, this is a lot, much when he was in the younger years, but hey, either way, I'm excited for it. I don't know if I'm calling Canada little brother, but hey, to each their own on that one. Any final thoughts before we wrap up, riled up?
Just on the Olympic Village, I wouldn't be shocked if the actual players for the United States and Canada off the ice are totally cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean,
they play in the NHL together. So I wouldn't be shocked if those tempers, that's not, like, there aren't huge egos. They don't care, probably. Well, I'm not going to say that. I don't think there is as much vitriol there as there is between United States fans and Canadian fans.
They know how to separate.
Vitriol.
They know how to separate the game from, you know, I mean, at the end of the day,
exactly.
Too. Even when you lose the Stanley Cup, at the end of the day, the Stanley Cup clinching game, everybody still shakes hands at the end of all of it.
Yep.
Like, that's, no matter what, you could have all this fire, this fuel up. You could get riled up, if you will, about all that. But at the end of the day, there's probably something a little different between the way the players feel against players and fans feel about the players and sometimes other fans. This has been Riled Up. We will wrap up the Saturday Scramble here on the other side. We got a check-in and see our last one before it is medal time. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Young. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We are here for a fun time, but not a long time. But it is what it is. It's about the friends we made along the way.
Exactly. It's a great time.
It's about the friends we made along
great
the way.
2 hours.
Jeff Levering joining us on the Saturday Scramble. Brewers baseball is going to be tipping off, getting ready. We will have a 2 o'clock first pitch on 100.5 ESPN Madison between the Guardians spring training. But before we wrap up, wanted to get our check-in with Czechia and where they're at the Winter Games. Owen, you have the big one for us, right? How are they doing?
Big developments over the last week since we last had our last check-in. All right, so without further ado.
Oh, wow, this is dramatic. I love this.
Big drum roll.
We added a bronze medal!
Yes! Let's go!
All right.
They earned a bronze medal in the women's 12.5-kilometer mass start biathlon event.
Let's go. Don't ask
me what that entails, but they got bronze.
They ski and shoot. Oh, they do both.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's pretty sick.
So close to the upset against Canada, too, in
hockey. That would have been awesome.
That would have been electric. I was at the barber when I texted you guys that. I'm like, oh, they're up 2-1 after the first period.
So close to greatness.
So close.
Shout out Czechia. They're holding strong, doing their best.
Five total medal counts.
Medals.
Hey,
let's go.
All right, let's go, boys. At least we have at least one.
16th out of 28th currently on the leaderboard.
All right.
All right.
Almost the top half.
Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yolk, wrapping up here. Owen Dipple behind the glass of the Saturday Scramble. Boys, I got a big Saturday ahead of me, too, real quick. I want to mention, I'm doing a float tank. I want to wrap things up here. So I got this as a birthday gift. This was something that in the Madison area, it's a wellness, it's a self-care type of thing. But basically what it is, apparently, from my knowledge, is that I lay down in this like tub of water. I'm in a darker room with like cool light tones, and I'm floating. And it's like kind of like a... I don't know how to describe. This is the first time I'm ever doing this, so I'll make sure that I follow up.
So you just lay in a pool on your back with the lights mostly off.
Yes, mostly off, dimmed.
What?
I'm trying to see if I can find the waiver for this because it is a long one of everything that entails from what this float tank is. I know Ashton Rotman, our content manager, made sure that you guys do not look at anything. So... let's see. What to bring, what we will provide. We pretty much have everything, including towel, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, all that. Let's see. We provide complimentary spring water and tea in our post-float lounge. Before we float, here we go. Have to make sure that I do not shave or wax 24 hours beforehand. It's helpful to not drink caffeine 4 to 6 hours. I can't smoke a cigarette. Don't worry, I don't smoke cigarettes. Eat a light meal about an hour before. I cannot float if I'm sick, if I've dyed my hair. I know none of this has to do with water. I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Here, look at my phone real quick, Riley. I'll show you. That's how long this disclaimer is of here's all the things you need to know about this. Can you see this?
Can
you see this, Owen? That's what the email says. So I'm trying to
see
if I can pick out.
I thought it was going to be one of those things like in the movies, in the sci-fi movies where you put the oxygen mask on.
What do you think, I'm going to
like
Avatar?
Floating. Yeah, like you're floating.
See, what I'm thinking.
Like hooked up to something.
What I'm thinking is 11 from Stranger Things, the sensory deprivation.
I think that's kind of what I'm doing.
You're like,
it is sensory deprivation tank. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So floating is almost safe for everyone.
I don't think I'd do this.
Let me see real quick. Sometimes the stillness in the float tank can trigger symptoms of motion sickness. So that's what I have ahead of me, folks. What's coming up ahead for you?
Enjoy, Pablo.
Thank you. Brewers baseball is coming up next or coming up later. Creighton Blue Jays and St. John's is coming up. This has been the Saturday Scramble 100.5 ESPN. Peace.